Welcome back into Sports Call right here on Tiger 95.9 FM and the Tiger Communications app here in Auburn. I'm JJ Jackson and so thrilled to be joined now by a good friend. He's been on the show with us for 3 or 4 years now at this point. Chris Van Dine from Phil Steele Publications joining us here on the program. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a fun football season, SEC football, so you can never complain about it. Hey, and I'm a Tennessee fan. It's been a better year. It's not terrible.
I wanted to bring up Tennessee. I need to talk Auburn. I need to talk SEC with you as well. But everybody, when you come on the program, we remind them that you are a Tennessee volunteer yourself. What happened that night in Neyland against Ole Miss, Chris?
Oh, well, I'm glad I wasn't there. things got out of hand, I guess. Yeah. You know, the worst part was, to me, they got the spot right. Ultimately, they got the spot right, and that was what really set the fans off. There were some bad calls in that game, and you know the one that really got me was when Corral stopped on the play, and Tyler Barron, the defensive end for Tennessee, grabbed the ball off him and just ran for a touchdown. But you know they said forward progress had stopped, but there was no forward progress because Corral stopped. He thought the play was blown dead, so just. You know, that was bad, but there's never a reason to go doing what they did. And I was kind of frustrated by it. But I'm, you know, not to take away anything from the team because the team played really well. They played their heart out that day and it came up just short, which was a shame. But, that was crazy.
Yeah, nobody's ever seen something like that before. And it's college football. It continues to give us new things. And it's like you never thought you would see something like that. Well, there you go. Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again now.
let's check that one off and move on to the next thing. You're exactly right. All right, let's talk Auburn Tigers. 8 games into the season now at this point. Auburn is really gaining momentum from our perspective, Chris. I don't know if you're picking up the same thing from the Tigers so far.
Absolutely. Actually, I was on Auburn last week against Ole Miss. I thought they would beat the Rebels. I thought they were catching Ole Miss in a great situation because Ole Miss was tired, man. Mm-hmm. They were banged up. They were tired. They were beat up. They had played a lot of tough games in a row, and I think that Auburn just keeps getting better. They had the big win against Arkansas. Auburn was off a bye last week, and they played like it. They played like you expected them to. Ran for 207 yards. They really got the run game going. Tank Bigsby looked like Tank Bigsby that we expect. Jarquez Hunter, still a young running back that keeps adding that other dimension. Auburn's playing well right now. And I think the biggest takeaway, you know, I think we talked about it before the season maybe, but something that we always notice is Bo Nix struggles on the road.
Yeah.
Have kind of reversed themselves this year. He played pretty well against Penn State on the road. And then against LSU, he saved the day basically after struggling early. Whatever happened after he got benched and came back in, since then he's been excellent. Even the Georgia game, I'll tell you what, I thought Auburn was very competitive and just missed some opportunities in that game. So we're impressed by Auburn and the job that Brian Harsin's done.
You look, Bo Nix, a third-year starter in his junior year. He's now played for 3 different offensive coordinators. The road struggles were very real, but picking up this new offense with Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo, more of a pro style, using the tight ends more frequently, people were curious how well Bo would fare in that system. Have you noticed an improved Bo Nix numbers-wise and everything?
Yes. One, he's protecting the ball better.
Last
year, 12-7 ratio. In particular, again, he struggled on the road, threw a lot of interceptions on the road. Maybe in years past, there's been communications issues. But this year, he's done much better, only thrown 2 interceptions this year. Not doing it as much with his legs. He hasn't had to rely on that. In years past, I think he pulled the ball down too early at times, tried to make a little bit too much happen. I think he's let things come to him a little more this year. And, you know, it's benefited the offense because they have a couple of excellent running backs and they keep improving every week. And he's been better. He's been much better, improving his completion percentage. He's gone from 59% to 62%. So, yeah, I'm impressed by Bo Nix this year.
So we're looking at the offense, and Tank Bigsby, as you said, kind of reemerged last week versus Ole Miss and looked more like the Tank Bigsby we've grown to know throughout his Auburn career. past few weeks, the run game has really struggled. What do you think's been the biggest reason for that? And does it seem like Tank Bigsby in that run game is going to turn the corner going into these final four games?
I do think it's turning the corner. It struggled partly because of competition. You know, they ran into LSU, I mean, Georgia, who, you know, they just shut everybody's run game down. But they hadn't been running the ball bad. I just felt like they hadn't committed enough to the run. They only had 29 carries against LSU, but they ran for 5.6 yards per carry. But, you know, the big rush numbers weren't there because I don't know that they were committing to the run game enough. You know, when you're throwing 43 passes, they need to do a better job on first down to make that happen. So that's key for them. But the offensive line's done a pretty good job. They've only given up 9 sacks. They're only giving up 3.3 sacks per pass attempt, which that's pretty good in SEC standards. 0 sacks allowed 2 weeks ago against Arkansas, and you see what happened when they played that game. So I think the run game is turning the corner, and I do think that, you know, it's a run game that if you get it going early, no one wants to tackle Tank Bigsby in the fourth quarter because it's hard enough to do it in the first quarter, but it's even harder when you're tired in the fourth quarter and you've been taking hits all game. So really important for Auburn to establish that run game, get a lead, and then pound you as the game goes.
Auburn is now 6-2 on the year, their last four games of the season. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they will be representing the SEC West in that SEC championship. So talking about the other side of the football for the Auburn Tigers, Derek Mason, a new defensive coordinator here on the Plains. What does the defensive unit look like in your eyes to Auburn?
There are some concerns. They've given up some big pass numbers against LSU, against Ole Miss, but part of that was because they got ahead of Ole Miss, and frankly, Ole Miss, 307 pass yards allowed against Ole Miss really isn't that bad. They've played well, putting up 21 sacks this season. They're doing a good job against the run, only 3.3 yards per carry. They allowed over 200 rushing yards against Georgia and Arkansas, but only 4.1 yards per carry and 4.3 yards per carry. So they've done a really good job to limit teams' run game, get pressure on the quarterback. And the pass defense, they're giving up 66%, but because they're forcing teams into passing situations more, I think that's causing that higher number. And also I think that Auburn's secondary players, you know, they have an excellent secondary. You know, when you got Smoke Monday back there, you really do have an excellent, talented unit. Holding teams 36 yards per game below their average, 42nd in the country. It's not as good as some of those elite Auburn defenses, but I do think it's a solid unit that's put them in position to win a lot of games.
So you're talking about that defense, and Derek Mason has said throughout the year a couple of times he's way more focused on the points that are on the scoreboard versus the yards that are given up. And I think that's such an interesting dynamic that football people can get into an argument of, like, what is the right number of yards to give up without being concerned because teams are staying off of the scoreboard in that regard. I don't know where you sit on that debate.
I mean, when you mention it, and Auburn's only given up 20 points per game, 357 yards per game, that comes down to being good in the red zone, creating turnovers. And, you know, when you look at the teams they're playing, they're forcing field goals. And you don't want to allow teams to always get inside your red zone and always get yardage. But I think they're doing a very good job of limiting teams when they get drives, not giving up the touchdown, only giving up the field goal. And, you know, when you're only allowing 24 points per game in the SEC, it always gives you a chance.
Humongous.
I always like Derek as a defensive coordinator.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's been a whole lot of fun to watch this season. Humongous game coming up this weekend for the Auburn Tigers versus Texas A&M. The AP poll's got it 12 versus 13. You mentioned a little bit later tonight, we'll see what the rankings come out for the college football playoff. But how do you kind of handicap this game? What do you expect from Auburn and Texas A&M come Saturday?
Well, this is going to be a heck of a game. I think Auburn caught Ole Miss in a great situation last week. I think A&M is catching Auburn in a bit of a good situation. A&M's coming off the bye week. They've dominated their last two opponents, expectedly against South Carolina, Missouri. And of course, 3 weeks ago, they beat Alabama in what was probably one of the biggest upsets of the season. Definitely the biggest upset in the SEC. I like the makeup of this A&M team a lot. The quarterback position is improving every week. Zach Calzada, He's not the game breaker that a lot of teams have, but I think he's very comparable to a Bo Nix, where he's not putting up huge numbers like Matt Corral, but he does enough. He protects the ball, 12-7 ratio this year. I'd say Bo Nix has the edge on Calzada, but I do think Calzada's playing well. And much like Auburn, I love A&M's running backs. And they've got two really good ones, Achane and Spiller, combining for over 1,300 yards this year. I like A&M's defense. DeMarvin Leal has been excellent and, you know, probably going to end up being an All-American. They've got 24 sacks themselves this season, only allowing 129 rushing yards per game, allowing 110 rushing yards per game in SEC play. So the defense has really hit their stride. They're holding opponents 70 yards per game below their average. This is going to be a tough game. I'll be honest, we're on A&M right now. I wish you had talked to me last week when I was high on Auburn to beat Ole Miss, but we like A&M to win this game, actually. So I know Auburn fans probably don't like me right now, but I do think it's going to be an excellent game. I give A&M a heck of a home edge right now because they've played really well at home, plus 115 yards per game at home. And, you know, Auburn does have the road loss at Penn State that's kind of concerning. They're only plus 11 yards per game on the road. So we give A&M a bit of an edge here.
What about those final three games of the season? After this upcoming Saturday, Auburn takes on Mississippi State at home, at South Carolina, and then, of course, the Iron Bowl. How do they fare in those?
Well, it's interesting because I do think Mississippi State's a team that is getting better. That was another game I was very high on last week because I loved Mississippi State against Kentucky. I thought Mississippi State had played much better than their record, and I thought Kentucky was not as good as their record. That turned out to be true. I do think Auburn at home will beat Mississippi State. I think they'll win at South Carolina. And then the interesting thing is, if A&M does beat Auburn, A&M becomes the biggest Auburn fan in the world because they will need Auburn to beat Alabama for A&M to win the SEC West. So, you know, this is essentially an SEC West elimination game, if you think about it, because whoever loses is done for the division. Whoever wins has a great shot, pending how that Auburn-Alabama game comes down to. That'll be it.
And that's why Auburn wants to win this game on Saturday, right? From the A&M perspective, as you said, you can't control what takes place in the Iron Bowl. If Auburn wins, look, it's up to us. Like, we don't have to sit here and watch other teams and what they're going to be able to get done.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think that having that control of your own destiny is nice. It's going to be tough to go on the road and do that in Kyle Field, a place where, you know, it's been a pretty good game last couple of years. And I know they did get A&M, I believe, on the road. What was that, 2 years ago? They won at A&M 28-20. I just think that I like the makeup of how A&M's playing right now with the defense playing as well as it has. And, you know, the quarterback just keeps seeming to improve every week, and I love what the running backs do. Very similar to Auburn in a lot of ways. So it's going to be a very fun game, and it is going to be a heck of an ending to the SEC season. It's probably going to come down to the Iron Bowl.
And we can't wait. We can't wait. Chris Van Dine is joining us here on Sports Call, as he does frequently throughout the college football season. Really appreciate every time you've been on the program with us, Chris. It's always a whole lot of fun. Tell my listeners once more about PhilSteele.com, and you've got a new YouTube thing going on as well. So give us the full plug.
Yeah, check Phil Steele out. You can follow him at PhilSteele042 on Twitter. Also, check out PhilSteele.com. We've got the Inside the Press Box, which has every game. Phil's picking every game, as well as his best bets. You can also check out PhilSteele Plus, which has all the information that Phil uses to handicap. And a really cool thing, you just mentioned it, the PhilSteele Plus Tour, which goes up Friday morning. It has PhilSteele himself on a video, and he breaks down some games and shows you how he handicaps, shows you his process, and shows you how he uses PhilSteele Plus and PhilSteele.com to analyze the matchups and decide what games he's going with every week.
You're so great with your time. We really do appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for joining us here on the program.
No problem, JJ. Appreciate it, and I look forward to doing it again.
Yes, that's Chris Van Dine. He's joining us here on Sports Call here in Auburn on Tiger 95.9.